It's HPR1, member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for listening. Today, getting a call from an artist who is touring the state right now. Shows continuing tonight at the Kauai Beach Resort Tuesday Hawaii Theater in Honolulu. And a great pleasure to welcome pianist, vocalist, songwriter, Marsha Ball. Hey, Marsha.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing there?
I'm good.
Tattooed Lady and the Alligator Man latest record still?
Yes, it is.
Tell people a little bit about what's in store. Who's coming with you and what can we expect?
Well, I'm coming as a special guest and as part of Johnny Nicholas and his band Hellbent. And Hellbent is Bruce Hughes on bass, Scrappy Judd on guitar, John Chipman on drums, and fronted by Johnny, who plays both piano and guitar. And, we've played gigs forever together. I've recorded on his records, and he's recorded on my records. A couple of years ago, we came to Hawaii, my very first trip to Hawaii. Played some gigs, and it went real well, so we're making our triumphant return engagement.
Nice. You may be a new name to some people, but you've been around a very, very long time. You grow up in Vinton, Louisiana. Paint a picture of how this place impacted you.
Well, Vinton, Louisiana is 40 miles from the Gulf of Mexico and 10 miles from the Texas-Louisiana state line, kind of in the heart and soul of a real creative part of the rhythm and blues world and what ultimately turned into the rock and roll world, being close to Port Arthur, Texas, where Janis Joplin is from, and close to Beaumont, Texas, where Johnny and Edgar Winter are from, and a crossroads of Cajun and country and music that we took for granted, soul music, R&B, and, you know, just a time and place that was very funky and a generation where people loved to dance.
I know your grandmom and aunt play a role in your musical influence.
Yes, yes. My grandmother played piano and my aunt played piano. So the piano appeared in my house, you know, when I was 5 years old or something, about to start school.
Explain how you gravitated at a really, really young age. I get that it's in the house. How do you start playing it and showing some skill?
Well, they played popular music. They weren't like classical musicians. My grandmother played Tin Pan Alley and ragtime music, and my aunt played songs of Gershwin and the stuff from the 40s and 50s. It was really pretty, and show tunes and things. So it wasn't a serious classical education so much as, although that was what my little piano teacher was trying to instill, but for the most part, I had a lot of great outside influences. And my cousin and I used to kind of compete to see who could snag the most songs by ear. We'd hear them and then we try to play them. We competed a little bit about who could grab the most of that.
Where would you hear them? Radio? Somebody playing them?
Mm-hmm. And from her mother, my aunt, and from our grandmother, and from the sheet music that we had, and yeah, the radio. And we didn't have a lot of records in our house. We didn't buy a lot of records, but there was just music. When I was a little kid, we lived across the street from a dance hall. It was a Catholic hall. It was a meeting hall, you know, but it being that part of the country, you know, dances every Wednesday night in the summer and at least once a month the rest of the year. And I could hear it, as I say in my song Down the Road, I could hear it from my bedroom screen window.
When did you know you had the drive to be a performer?
Gosh, I guess I was always a ham. I don't know. But I, in college, started singing folk music. I didn't really sing until I got to college. I never really did. I didn't think I could. I met a girl who was singing folk music, and she recruited me to sing harmony with her. And that's when I started singing. And soon after that, I got in a rock and roll band.
That Gum?
Gum. We played in Baton Rouge for a year or so. And then I moved to Austin. And, a series of kind of lucky events and crossing of the right path and meeting the right people who let me be in their bands and led me along. And that went on for the first, I guess, 8 or 10 years of my career, really, kind of going whichever way the wind blew me.
Frida and the Fire Dogs, that's one of those enterprises?
Yeah, that was a real lucky break, too, though, because that was when I moved to Austin, and there was a time right about then where I was just reading about Gram Parsons and his love of country music and how he was a very influential, very charismatic person, and he got, you know, in with the Byrds, the band. They made Sweetheart of the Rodeo, and even before I got to Austin, we were very fond of that record. I just always liked genre-bending music. I loved the band because they played, it was not rock and roll per se, it was some new genre of America and folk and all these interesting styles. And so that had happened, and I got to Austin, and I met a bunch of guys who grew up out in West Texas and had a deep love of country music, although they had played every other kind of music in the world on the way to getting back to playing country music for hippies, like we did. And so it was really the right band and the right style at the time.
Who's your biggest hero that you're grateful that you got to explore music with?
Well, I'd probably say Irma.
Irma Thomas.
Because she was early on someone who I heard when I was a kid. My other grandmother lived in New Orleans, and we went there for holidays, vacations, and everything. And my cousin, my age, and I would go. They let us go when we were 13 to a big show at the auditorium, and Irma was on the show. And I remember it clear as if it were yesterday, and just never forgot her music and her personality and her whole demeanor, which is unchanged, I might say, to this day. She's still that incredibly powerful and gracious person who I saw when I was 13 years old.
I love that connection of seeing them, then you get to play with them, the lessons that you learn from them, the kind of person that they are. That's what it's about right there. When you think about the biggest lessons that you've learned, which have gotten you through maybe difficult times, struggles, something that any sort of ingredient in life that's important to pass along that you picked up?
Longevity is good. Try to stay healthy. Don't hurt yourself. And it's been my original plan. Don't hurt myself. And last a long time. And I'm still trying to improve my craft. And that's a challenge.
Where did you get the title for the Tattooed Lady and the Alligator Man latest record?
That song just popped into my head. Those people, it's like they walked up on my porch, knocked on the door. I don't even know. I think about it, you know, where did that come from? But, you know, the minute they showed up, I was telling their story.
That's great.
That's the odd way that these things happen sometimes.
Well, that's a good connection to Hawaii, which is a storytelling kind of culture here.
Oh, definitely.
People can appreciate what you bring to the table. Her tour of Hawaii continues tonight at Kauai Beach Resort, Tuesday, Hawaii Theater. The Tattooed Lady and the Alligator Man, latest record from Marcia Ball. Great pleasure to have you as part of the show here on All Things Considered with us. Be safe, Marcia.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'll see you soon. Cue the trumpet. Okay. Hey, this is Marcia Ball, and I'm hanging with my friend Dave Lawrence on All Things Considered Hawaii Public Radio.
I want to tell you a story now, it won't take long.